For Catholic and other Christians, this is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome back to The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. With Barbara McGuigan, phone lines are open at 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to round two of The Good Fight. The fight is on, and we'll continue our interview of future saint, Dr. Brian Kopp. Dr. Brian, Marianne wasn't able to wait, but she did want to thank us for the program, which is a good thing. And so we'll go on to my pretty long question, but I want you to talk about the direct link to the contraceptive mentality and abortion that euthanasia has. Will you please?
Oh, sure. People don't realize the reason we're having these pressures for euthanasia, the reason we have to have health care reform, is because we have a population inversion. In most societies, in most cultures, you have a lot of young people above the base of the population pyramid is you have a lot of youth, and then above that you have the working people, and then as you go up the pyramid it gets smaller and smaller until you have the elderly at the top.
Right.
And in a culture and a society which has embraced the contraceptive mentality and which is aborting its children, you have a population pyramid inversion. You have a lot of elderly. You have a fewer number of working people, and you have a very small number of young.
You know, Father Marx used to call that a top-heavy society. You have more people over the age of 5 than under, something like that, over the age of 65 than under the age of 5. That's what it was.
Right, right. And when you have this population inversion, this pyramid inversion, you can't prop up social welfare programs.
Yes.
You know, the people that paid into the programs, you know, their entire lifetime and now are on Social Security, now are on Medicare, their benefits aren't really coming from a Social Security trust fund. There is no fund. Their benefits are coming from the taxes that are being collected currently.
Now, yes.
Now. Mm-hmm. If there aren't enough people paying into it, then you don't have enough resources to pay out.
There you go.
And when you don't have enough resources to pay out, you know, a state that has a very secular or atheistic worldview often decides that the best way to eliminate problems is to eliminate problems.
People. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Goodness.
So we're faced with this reality that the pressures for euthanasia are building because of the contraceptive mentality, because we're not having children, because our fertility rate has collapsed. Over the last 10 or 20 years, the only Western nations that still had a birth rate, a fertility rate that was above replacement level, were the United States of America and Israel. And since the economic recession in 2008 or 2009, the United States has once again fallen below replacement level.
Replacement, yeah.
And Israel is the only Western nation that has replacement level birth rate. We actually had an increasing population because of immigration,
sure.
I personally think the reason neither party wants to close our borders is because we need people coming into the system to prop up our social welfare programs. It's a Ponzi scheme, and they see it collapsing.
Mm-hmm.
So not only can they prop up the social welfare program with illegal immigrants, they can also prop up a voting base by giving them, you know,
of course,
immigrants amnesty. I'm not as opposed to immigration as many people are in the Tea Party movement and so on. You know, my ancestors were immigrants. Whether they were legal or illegal sometimes seems immaterial. I got in, and I don't know if it's right for me to close the door behind me, you know, and I'm a raging conservative, but in that regard, people would say I'm a liberal. I've done missionary work down in Haiti. I've been to Haiti 3 times. I've seen how the poorest among us live. Mother Teresa said that, you know, the slums of Port-au-Prince, Haiti were the poorest place in the world, and they're an hour and a half from Miami. You know, so there's a lot of realities here that we have to deal with, that we have to get our head around.
We have to have some kind of equity, though, don't you think, in this whole thing with the, you know, I'm all about immigrants as well, but I believe that they should somehow give the immigrants, the illegal immigrants that are here now, a way to become a citizen.
Yeah, I think that both parties are looking at that. I think a lot of our USCCB members have said that, and frankly, that's above my pay grade. I really don't know what the answer is to that situation.
Okay. Well, it's kind of off the subject, too, in a way, but we have Archbishop Gomez now here in L.A., and he agrees with that whole thing, too, you know, that everything should be right and just, you know, and, you know, that's something that they should do. And, I mean, I'm not into sending anyone back home again, for God's sake. I mean,
interestingly, this is a situation that might solve itself to our detriment. For the first time in history, Mexico's fertility rate is collapsing, too.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Of the other Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time since the Great Depression, the number of people coming, immigrating illegal to the United States, has evened out with the number of people going back to Mexico. So we're not really having this mass immigration. The days of the mass illegal immigration from the southern border are over.
But is that across the board, though, Dr. Brian?
It is across the board. Ironically, people think that, you know, Latin America has this massive birth rate. They don't. Their birth rates are collapsing. The population that has the birth rates collapsing the most rapidly, the most alarmingly, are the Muslim nations. People say, well, the Muslims are reproducing, they're going to take over Europe. No, the Muslim populations in the Middle East, their population rates are collapsing more rapidly than any Western nation in history. So even the Muslim nations, their populations aren't going to keep expanding. The Europeans can't depend on, you know, Muslim immigrants to prop up their social welfare programs. We have a demographic implosion. That's probably, in my mind, that's one of the biggest threats facing mankind right now. Facing mankind is not population explosion, it's population implosion.
Because the human person is a country's greatest natural resource.
It's the greatest human, the greatest capital is human capital.
Yes.
When you read orthodox, quote-unquote orthodox economists, they'll universally tell you, you cannot have economic growth without
people, without
a small increase in the number of the population. There's never been a case in human history where you've had economic growth with population decline.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you have a contracting population base, you will always have a contracting economy. And when you have a contracting economy, your tax base contracts. And when your tax base contracts, you cannot fulfill the promises you made to the boomer generation with their pensions, with their Social Security, with their Medicare, with their insurance, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So you get rationing of care. You get active and passive euthanasia.
There you go.
Not where we are because we've rejected God's providence.
Mm-hmm. Boy, and that's the truth.
Man doesn't believe, you know, people say they believe in God, but if they don't believe in God's providence, how much do they believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
Western culture, even the Christian elements of Western culture, has pragmatically speaking, are atheists because they don't believe in God's providence.
Yes.
They say, well, you know, I believe God provides, but when it comes to kids, I'm going to make that decision myself. I'm not going to rely on God because if I relied on him, I'd have 10 kids.
See, and that's not relying. That's not trusting in God. No. No, there's no faith there.
Right.
I mean, that's sad to say, but I mean, and possibly you have great faith in other things, but definitely not in procreation. Leaving it up to God, that's for sure. You know, Doctor, we have lines lighting up like crazy, and so I think we better, if you don't mind, go to these great people that are listening and calling in right now, and then we can get back to this, if that's okay?
Sure.
Okay, well, let's go first to Raymond from California. Raymond, hey, welcome to The Good Fight.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. What can we do for you, good man?
Well, we commend you for your work. My wife and I and my family always look forward to hearing The Good Fight on Saturday mornings.
Well, praise God. Praise God. All glory goes to God for any good thing we do, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, Doctor, thank you for your work. I've been working with seniors for about 25 years, and I've worked in recreation, but primarily as I first started my career in skilled nursing. So we came across this issue, you know, and rarely, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, rarely would we ever deny anybody, you know, the basics of nutrition, whether that be through IV or water. And I just see that trend changing, which is a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I'm calling, I just want to give you a little bit of information. There is a wonderful group called Aging with Dignity, and it was founded by Jim Towey, I think his name is, and I heard a caller refer to it earlier. He designed it was called Five Wishes, which is like a living will and takes the place of the advanced directive. It's accepted in about 42 different states. But he was a friend and the legal counsel for Mother Teresa.
And, wow.
So he developed this, I think it was back in 1997. They're based in Florida, and it's called Aging with Dignity.
Aging with Dignity.
So let people know that this is a resource available. In fact, in the emblem, Aging with Dignity, you'll see the Mother Teresa blue and white sort of colors that, the sisters wear. You'll see that incorporated in that logo. But people of integrity, and I just think that's a great reference for people if they're looking for something that envelops sort of the Catholic mindset. That's something you could take a look at and have your listeners take a look at.
That's wonderful. Could this be, you think, Dr. Brian, what our other caller was asking about?
The Five Wishes is the document that came out of Aging with Dignity. I looked it up during the break, and it was that document that Jim Tuohy put together. And I've heard of him. I know of him because he was the past president of St. Vincent's College down in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, which is about 30 miles from here. So he's just the current past president and just left St. Vincent's College. And I think he might be down at Ave Maria now. I'm not certain.
Okay. So that's a good thing, then. That's a very good thing, Aging with Dignity.
I think the Five Wishes is a good thing. You know, I'm looking at their website. It says Five Wishes lets your family and doctors know who you want to make healthcare decisions for you when you can't make them, the kind of medical treatment you want or don't want, how comfortable you want to be, how you want people to treat you, what you want your loved ones to know.
Right.
I looked at that document probably a year or two ago. I do recall having some misgivings about it, but I can't recall what it was at the time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 100% airtight, and some of the issues that living wills cause problems, but I think it's a vast improvement over the secular living will. Again, my personal preference is for a durable power of attorney for health care, where you have a person that makes those decisions. You don't go by a checked-off box. So I think it's a vast improvement over what you know, has been pushed by the euthanasia movement, but I would have to study it more to know if it's 100% airtight. I do trust the individuals who put it together. I think they're good people, but I can't offer an opinion one way or the other as to whether it's the ultimate answer at this point.
Well, you know what? Could it not possibly be? When did you say, Raymond, that this was put out? 1990?
I think it was 1997.
1997. Well, then, you know, that's a few years ago. Maybe things have gotten a bit worse where we have to say a bit more. What do you think? Could that be
that's
this?
Possible. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I thought I would just open that up. But God bless you all. Thank you for your support of life. I always am encouraged when I hear people on the opposite end of the spectrum because I've been working with that population for so long. And, you know, it's probably one of the greatest gifts I've ever received in my life, the Lord directing me, moving me in that direction, and I've learned so much, and pray that I too can die with dignity and faith, and you know, hopefully am able to impart that to what people I work with as well.
Well, you're an awesome man, I can tell that right now, and thank you so much for calling. God bless you, Raymond.
God bless you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Boy, don't you love these callers? Aren't they something? This is every week, Dr. Brian, we get these great callers. They're just
great place to be.
It is a great place to be. It is so edifying. You know, doing God's will is the perfect place to be, and I'm glad we're here. So at this moment in time, we have another person who wishes to be anonymous. I don't know why the anonymity today, but I'm going to call you Kathy. Maybe it's a man. Who knows? Welcome to The Good Fight.
Thank you.
Sure.
I want to enlarge the five wishes. I have the document right in front of me. And, yes, it is apparently put together by Aging with Dignity.
Okay.
And Aging with Dignity wishes to thank Orange Health Decisions for contributing to the drafting of this document.
I'm not familiar with them. Is that good or not
know.
So good? Oh, okay.
Know.
Okay.
I don't know. And the other informational here is that you could contact communityhospice.com.
To get this program, huh?
Well, I guess information or anything else.
Okay. Well, we're going to look into this, aren't we, Dr. Brian, and really make sure, and then we can come back and talk about this a bit more and what we found. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, I was just looking at it. I did pull up a quick search, had a Catholic News Agency article that mentions the five wishes, Father Tad from the National Catholic Bioethics Center.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, apparently he raises some questions about it.
Ooh, okay.
One widely available living will called Five Wishes offers questionable options and morally dubious choices to the patient by including, as but one example, the following series of checkboxes. And then he goes on to lay that out. So, you know, there are, apparently it's not a perfect document.
So,
again, I think it's an improvement over a living will, but I don't think it's perfect. Again, I can encourage people to go the route of a durable power of attorney for healthcare decisions.
Yes.
Well, Father Tad is a great ethicist. He's been on The Good Fight a few times with me. So, see, that's what it takes, getting to the bottom. But go ahead now. What did you want to say, dear lady?
I want to also say that document doesn't mean anything in a nursing home. I have a background in nursing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Master of Science in nursing.
Okay.
I can tell you that nursing home is all a matter of money.
Oh, goodness.
Nursing homes sometimes are spread through several states.
Mm-hmm.
Orders come from the owners of the nursing home. And not everything that's done in the nursing home are of the intentions of the people who do the care.
Well, boy, I can second that, at least from the ones that, the few that I'm familiar with. But how about you, Dr. Brian?
Oh, sure. That's true. You always have to remember that in the midst of these conversations, there are individuals in these industries, the nursing industry, nursing
mm-hmm.
homes, hospice
mm-hmm.
care, palliative care, that are absolutely angels of mercy, just the most
sure.
fantastic, amazing
some are.
Individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them are working within a system that is
very secular, huh?
And very secular, and sometimes absolutely corrupt. I hear stories every day of the problems in hospice care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, hospice has coasted along on its moral capital. In its early days, it was a very good thing. It was a very Christian thing. So people are shocked when you relate problems with hospice. They
mm-hmm.
tend to think that hospice is the angels of mercy.
Right.
When you hear about some of the abuses that are going on with hospice care, it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
And even then, there are still individuals working within hospices that are bad, who are very good people and doing the best possible care. So we have to be very careful
sure.
between the individuals providing the care and the policy level or the management level or the ownership level.
Sure. What do you think of that, dear lady?
Well, I think that people don't realize that the power that
yes.
comes from
having a nursing home, huh? And what
from,
they can
from
do.
It's the highest decision.
You know, we have to take a quick break. I am so apologizing to have to cut you off, but we're going to a break. Didn't want the computer to do it. Thank you for calling. We'll be right back, everybody.
Her network inspired a nation. Her words transformed the faithless.
God is after transforming us into His image. That's why love of God is important.
And nothing will stop her desire for God's truth.
There are so many miracles in our everyday life that we don't see.
Listen to the wit and wisdom of Mother Angelica here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Our family had been going through crisis. Little by little, we just found ourselves drifting completely away. I was afraid to go back. I mean, I cried the first time I received the sacraments again. Cried because I was back and because I had allowed God to become a part of me again. It's united our family. There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for any reason, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
What do you get when you put together a friar, a priest, and a psychologist? None other than Father Benedict Groeschel. Tune in weekly as he shares his wisdom and insight into spiritual life, helping you live out your Catholic faith. That's Sunday Night Prime with Father Benedict Groeschel here on EWTN.
Sunday Night Prime is seen and heard around the world on EWTN. For dates and times in your area, log on to EWTN.com.
The EWTN Book of the Month for August is Living the Catholic Faith, Rediscovering the Basics. Archbishop Charles Chaput teaches how to live the Catholic faith through everyday action. Living the Catholic Faith, Rediscovering the Basics is available for purchase through the EWTN Religious Catalog website, EWTNReligiousCatalog.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or you can call 1-800-854-6316. This is The Good Fight on EWTN Radio. For more information about The Good Fight, go to EWTN.com and click on Radio. Here again is Barbara McGuigan.
Welcome back to round two of The Good Fight. I am here, and it's such a blessing to have Dr. Brian Kopp with me today. He is an expert on the growing euthanasia movement in this country and basically pretty much all over the world, I think it's safe to say. We have some callers waiting, Doctor. Is it okay if we continue this?
Certainly.
Okay, great. Let's go to Jack. He's calling from San Diego, California. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can we do for you?
I'll tell you, I accidentally turned on your radio program this afternoon, and You are doing the good fight, I can tell you that.
You got that, good man. You see the big picture, don't you?
It blew me away. I have been away from the church, and I started listening to Catholic radio, and it's kind of moving me back in your direction.
Praise
God.
So
what it is my wife and I, my mother-in-law is 89 years old, and she's in a nursing home, and she was going down, and so we thought, well, let's bring her home, let's have hospice, and let her just die at home. That's all very nice and very sweet and very good, but that ain't the way it is. We started into hospice. And we signed the papers. We looked for the best one we could find. We signed the papers. And within 12 hours, we took her off of hospice. Within 12 hours, we took her off. First thing they did is they came into the nursing home and gave her a new bed. A new bed. The reason why they had a new bed is because hospice now is going to get the money from Medicare for that bed.
They came in and
took out the oxygen machine and gave her a new oxygen machine. Why? Because Medicare is paying for the oxygen machine, and the Medicare company, the hospice company, is getting the money for that. And then the next thing, and this is what blew us away, all of her medications, her blood pressure medications, everything is now removed, and the only thing she can have is pain medication, sedatives. We said, hey, you know, we want her to come home and live with us and have, you know, 24-hour care and live with us in our house. But we don't want her to, we don't want to force, if we take away her blood pressure medicine, for example, it's going to kill her.
Sure, I was just thinking that particular one, too.
The whole thing is blood pressure medicine. They take everything away, everything. And we sat at the dining room table, and we looked at each other, and we said, we can't do this. We thought, let's go look for a Christian hospice. That's what we're looking for, a Christian hospice. It doesn't exist. It's a contradiction now. Because what Medicare, and I've had some theological training, what Medicare requires of hospice is contradictory to what God has wants for us.
Yes.
And I came to that conclusion, and we got on the phone and called hospice and said, you're out of here. We're done with it. She rallied. My mother-in-law rallied. She's still in the nursing home and getting her medication and her care. And we have no idea when God is going to take her. But we are not going to go through hospice and drug her to death. This was the worst thing. Remove all of the drugs.
That she needed, huh? That she needed in the first place. Now, and you say that she wasn't in the dying process, and she would, I mean, why would she have not wanted to take her medicine to feel good, yes?
Yes, that's exactly. I mean, she seemed like she was going down. And she wasn't eating and everything. We thought, well, you know, this must be the end. Let's bring her home. This will help us, and this will be it.
Yeah.
And that's not the way it is. Not the way it is.
They had a different idea, huh? Hey, Dr. Brian, what do you say to Jack?
Well, one of the things we have to do is we have to recapture the original intent and spirit of hospice care. The whole hospice idea was developed in the church. The first hospice was opened in the Holy Land in Jerusalem almost 1,000 years ago by the Knights Hospitallers to care for pilgrims coming to the Holy Land who were very sick and dying. So hospice itself is a Catholic concept. Modern hospice movement, you know, started with nuns and sisters in France and Ireland in the 1800s, and really the modern hospice movement was started by Mother Teresa. In the 1950s, Dame Cecily Saunders founded the modern medical-based hospice movement in England in the 1960s, and the American movement grew out of Dame Cecily Saunders' concepts. But a lot of the American movement wasn't founded on those Christian principles. Dame Cecily Saunders was diametrically opposed to active euthanasia, but the founder of the American hospice movement, Florence Wald, was very much in support of active and passive euthanasia. And Elizabeth Kubler Ross, who was the other big foundation stone of the American dying industry, she was a New Ager. She was really flaky.
Yes.
So here you have the twin pillars of the American hospice industry, one who's a ardent proponent of euthanasia, another who's a full-blown New Ager. The American hospice movement doesn't have the Christian roots that the hospice movement in general had. Hospice is a Catholic concept, and it can be done right. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a fact because in the process of trying to expand hospice care here, I've changed my office schedule. I work 4 days a week instead of five, and on Fridays I join the staff at Catholic Hospice of Pittsburgh. I shadow them. I'm learning the industry and seeing how they do things. Mm-hmm. They don't do what this individual is talking about. They continue the meds that are necessary to treat medical conditions. When they do the bed, it's because Medicare requires it. Once you're on hospice care, Medicare requires that hospice to provide things like the bed, to provide medications. Those are Medicare dictates for the hospice provider. The hospice isn't necessarily getting reimbursed individually for those things. I mean, the durable medical goods supplier is, but the hospice itself isn't. They get paid a global fee. They get paid so much per day to take care of the patient, and those things like the bed, the medications, and so on, they come out of that global fee. But there are a lot of efforts to control costs to maximize profit. That's why if you do have a choice in your local area to choose a hospice, choose a nonprofit hospice.
Yes, that would make sense.
I don't think there should be any role for for-profit hospice in the hospice industry.
But, you know, the whole thing is, though, and Jack, I think what Doctor is saying to us is very, very wise. You always have to look at the source of something. And you know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of the IOM, the Institute of Medicine. These were the folks who, along with some of our HHS, probably Catholic Kathleen Sebelius, these are the ones who put together the HHS mandate. And if you look at that group of people, every single one of them had pro-abortion roots. Every last one of them. So it's just, you have to always go back to the source. And like you say, Dr. Brian, in America, we did not have, you know, the nuns and the right dignity and the intent of hospice in America here. Am I correct on what I'm saying?
That's absolutely true. There are good Christian hospices in America, but the hospice movement in general in the United States doesn't have the Christian roots that it had in India.
Israel and India, sure.
The other thing, too, is the palliative care movement, the other half of the end-of-life care movement, has no Christian roots. The biggest supporters and funders of the development of the palliative care industry are George Soros and the Robert Woods Johnson Foundation.
Good night.
They spend hundreds of millions of dollars into the palliative care movement. So you have to be really diligent.
I did not know that. Jack, hey, Jack, did you know that? You did know that George Soros was involved in the palliative care movement. I did not even know that. That is...
Did I hear it? Yes, I heard it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you're here with me today, Dr. Brian, because you're really shedding a lot of light on things. And, Jack, I can't thank you enough for calling. Keep listening, good man. Let me hear from you again, okay?
Thank you.
All righty. God bless you. Bye-bye now. Okay, Dr. Brian, we've got Jeannie and Heidi on the line here. So let's go to Jeannie first. She's calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's my hometown. Hey, Jeannie, welcome to the show.
I just want to thank you for this opportunity. This happened to my mom this spring, and she had fallen, and, you know, we almost insisted that she go to a Catholic hospital, and they said no, they couldn't do that because she had hit her head, and they wanted to check for bleeding. You know, you just go to the hospital thinking that people are there that will care for her, and it's not there. You know, you have good nurses and that, but they see someone that is old, 95. My mom was spry. She walked with a walker. But from the moment we entered, it was like she lived her life.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And that's the end. And I just, you know, my family, they think I'm crazy, kind of, but is there any way to pursue things, or do you just leave it in God's hands, or do you work forth, you know, somewhere in the Catholic movement here in Cincinnati or what, to try to, you know, help others? Because that's my point, that this happened to our mother, and it's going to happen to another person, you know, that they're not going to be given care. The point was, an evening after our surgery, they were going to give her a pill, and there was not even any water next to her bedside. And she had such a terrible night one night that she, you know, was sweating and everything, and I asked them to change her bedding, and they said no, that she was sleeping. And she ended up with pneumonia. And when we found out she had pneumonia, they wanted us to move her out of the hospital. Now, you know, a hospital is there to help cure a person. They wanted her out of there and in some kind of hospice or whatever. It was it was one thing after another.
Yeah, and what a difficult thing to go through.
And it's just hard to, you know, get it through your mind. And, you know, you talk to people and they just say, oh, she had a good life and that, but she was still with us. She prayed the rosary. We sang to her. She was with us till the day, that afternoon before she died even.
It's like they want to decide when a person's number is up. You know, this is the arrogance I was talking about. Who are they to say? There could have been many beautiful, good moments.
Oh, you know, when she turned 90, she thought, oh, what, the good Lord will take her. And then after she turned 90, she said, oh, maybe I will make it to 100.
We all thought
maybe she would. But
Well, Dr. Brian, what do you want to say to Jeannie? Dear Jeannie.
Well, I think this is emblematic of our whole modern move away from Christian foundations in our healthcare.
Yeah.
There's a loss of respect for human dignity.
The dignity of the person.
In the image and likeness of God. There's
Amen.
A loss of basic work ethic in the medical field and nursing and so on.
Amen.
There's older nurses that understood what it took to take care of people and did it day in and day out.
Yeah.
Retiring. A lot of these younger ones, it's just a job. They're there to pick up their paycheck. I tell patients, if you have a family member in the hospital, stay with them 24 hours a day.
Amen. Oh, you have to. Yep. To be their advocate.
Well, to be honest with you, we did. We were there 24 hours a day, and they said they never had this. You know, because this was the university hospital. This wasn't the Catholic hospital. We wanted to take her to the Catholic hospital, but they wouldn't let us. So that's something people should be aware of, too, that I found out they should have taken us to the Catholic hospital because that's where I wanted her to go.
Yeah.
And they said there was a state law. Well, there's some kind of, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not a law, maybe an ordinance or something that, you have a choice, but it is not a law.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a law against dumping patients on nonprofit institutions. Where, if a patient comes in on medical assistance or has no health care, that hospitals can't just dump those patients on nonprofits. The for-profit hospitals can't do that. So they may have been playing fast and loose with the terminology and with the laws.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeannie, God love you, dear heart. Thank you so much for calling the show.
Well, thank you for putting this on the air, because I think this is more prevalent than anybody realizes.
Yeah,
and when you see somebody with life, and I told all the doctors and the nurses that she has life. And
sure.
I'm telling you that I think they would have put the needle in her arm that day.
Oh, my goodness.
It's just like they have no
compassion, understanding.
Or, you know, that she was a grandmother, a mother.
Sure, that's
just
it.
She's just an old person is the way we looked at it. So,
yeah.
God bless you for doing this, and thank you for letting me air my our sadness, that maybe it'll help somebody down the line.
You're right, Jeannie, and thank you for calling, dear heart.
Okay.
God bless you.
All righty. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break here pretty soon, Dr. Brian, and we'll come back and talk to another Jeannie from Cleveland, Ohio, and a Heidi from Seattle, Washington, and we're taking in another call as well. So we're going to take a quick break here pretty soon. But, you know, your heart bleeds for some of these souls, doesn't it, Dr. Brian?
It's very difficult to hear these stories. It's one of the things we hear a lot working in the pro-life hospice movement. We hear some heartbreaking tales of what people have gone through. Ron Panzer has the Hospice Patients Alliance. He's been fighting the good fight for
mm-hmm.
a long time, fielding questions from people whose loved ones are being neglected or suffering from fraud within the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear these heartbreaking stories, it's very difficult. It's very hard.
I mean, my mother is 86, and she is full of life, let me tell you. And I'm the mother of 11 children. I happen to be the oldest, right? And, we would die for her. And if anybody tried to pull anything, any tube, anything, I mean, we would carry her out of the hospital ourselves, trust me.
What?
So, anyway, we're going to have to go to a quick break. Doctor, sorry to cut you off there. You are listening to The Good Fight on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Barbara McGuigan here with Dr. Brian Kopp, and we're just having a great discussion here. Thank you, everyone, for calling. We'll be right back.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Rock out to classic Beatles music while supporting Pregnancy Helpline Sunday, August 26th at Memories Restaurant in Brighton. Knights of Columbus and Memories Restaurant are sponsoring The Beat Club, our region's best Beatles tribute band, for a lunch and dinner show, all to benefit the life-saving work of Pregnancy Helpline. For further details, call 810-494-5433. If you're looking for a faith-based program to take control of your finances, join Christ the King Church in Ann Arbor for Financial Peace University Preview, Monday, August 27th. This is a small group study featuring Dave Ramsey videos. To find out more, call 734-929-0971. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Hi, this is Tom Lowy, Development Director at Ave Maria Radio. I'm sure you're all aware of the Colin Ray concert coming up on August 25th. And I'm hoping you can be there, because this is a really big event. It's not just a country concert, it's a Catholic celebration. Ave Maria Radio was on the ground floor of the Catholic radio movement in this country. 15 years ago, we became America's first full-time Catholic radio station. Where there was one, there's now more than 200. And all of this in just 15 years. This is worth celebrating. So come on out, join us in that celebration. Be a part of history. Get your tickets now by going online to ave15.com. That's Saturday, August 25th at Hill Auditorium. Go to ave15.com or call the Hill Auditorium box office at 763-TKTS. It's a night you'll never forget.
Voices of the Saints.
This is The Good Fight with Barbara McGuigan on EWTN Radio. If you'd like to join the discussion, call 1-877-573-7825. That's 1-877-573-7825. Here again is Barbara McWiggin.
Welcome back to round two of the Good Fight. And you know what, Dr. Brian? This is our last segment. We have 14 minutes to get in some great callers that are waiting on the line here. So let's go to Jeannie from Cleveland, Ohio. Jeannie, welcome to the Good Fight.
Hello.
Hello, Jeannie. What can we do for you? Welcome.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
Barbara, I'm a nurse. I work at a hospice,
mm-hmm.
and it is privately owned. And I have to say, I've been graced. I have never seen anything that you are talking about.
You have been graced then, right, Dr. Brian?
Absolutely.
Oh, there are some wonderful hospitals out there. Yeah.
And it's privately owned. The people are Christian. The integrity there, you know, they wouldn't waste anybody's money, and they wouldn't deny any care,
mm-hmm.
you know, to somebody that needed it, you know, just for money. You know what I'm saying? I know that people that have been in our hospice have been over a year. Sometimes they have to be recertified, yeah. And mm-hmm. I know that happens, you know, after three months, and then after 2 months, and I know people that have been at, you know, over a year. I know when they're not showing any decline, you know, they've gone off after a couple recertifications, you know, and they're very particular, you know, no, they're not showing, you know, decline, you know, they can't, you know, be, you know, on hospice any longer.
But that's a blessing, and that's the way it should be. And in all fairness, my daddy was in hospice for about 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and they knew. They were wonderful, and they knew where we were coming from and what he said he wanted and everything, and they were
mm-hmm.
respectful of us, and
it was
a beautiful experience, I mm-hmm. must say. So, and that was down in San Diego as well. So.
And I'm just, I know, like, with the Terry Schiavo thing,
yeah,
I worked at a nursing home too. I've worked in nursing homes where I can't even imagine that would possibly happen. I know that there have been people on feeding tubes where, you know, the nurses are saying they're still wondering why, you know, why are we doing this? Why are we? And, you know, nobody ever thought about stopping it. You know what I'm saying? So
Right. Well, that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. And I guess what I wanted to say is, you know, I've often thought I wanted to work for a nonprofit, but I'm just, you know, there are some very good people out there, very good families or whoever they are that have the money to do this type of service, and they're doing a very good and honorable job. You know, so yes, you have to do your homework.
Well, you really do. And Dr. Brian, you've said that a few times on the show, that there are many beautiful hospices out there that, you know, are really have the patient's interest at heart. I think, isn't it true, though, Dr. Brian, that the minute you're kind of hooked up with, you know, Medicare and all the government regulations, that possibly, you know, you just have to follow regulations? What do you think?
Well, they say when you're dealing with the government, there's always strings attached. And when you're dealing with Medicare, strings are more or less the size of the ropes that hold ships to up here.
Good analogy.
You can operate within the Medicare system and do it right and do it mm-hmm. well and do it completely from a Christian perspective. That's why I'm so impressed with Catholic Hospice of Pittsburgh. They are really doing the good work. They are really going above and beyond the call, and they do it as a mission. They do it as an apostolate.
Yeah. And most of the people that I'm working with, that's how they feel too. You know, I'm being paid for doing this, and they love it. You know, they love what they're doing. You know, too, I wanted to say, to put this out there too, if you're involved in hospice, there is absolutely nothing there binding you. You could leave, but you could revoke your hospice.
That's right.
Benefits
right.
at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get out of it if you're seeing
and
that.
You can transfer to another hospice, and that happens quite often.
Yeah.
Well, Jeannie, God
Thank
bless you.
You
for calling. Thank you for calling today. All righty. Bye-bye now. Okay, let's go to Heidi. She's calling from Seattle, Washington. Heidi, welcome to the Good Fight.
Thank you so much. And hello, Barbara and Dr.
Hi.
Brian. I'm so thankful that you have this program on today.
Great.
I was listening to the gentleman about his mother and the hospice. And it's a shame that he had problems with the hospice that he had, because the hospice that we had, because here in Seattle there's two different hospices,
mm-hmm.
and one is wonderful, and one, I'm not sure, the Evergreen, I'm not for sure if that's the one that's the not so good, but the one we had was wonderful. They were there all the time. taken her, my mom's vital signs.
Great.
She had high blood pressure, so when her blood pressure went way low, then, of course, you know, they had to take that from her at that time. But they were there, and they told us, I mean, they had counselors there for us, telling us what to expect day to day, and 3 days before, you know, she was to pass away, that, you know, she's going to have all this energy. And they were just wonderful. We were so thankful because we're, you know, a family of eight. And my mother had cancer of the intestines, so, and that's, like, what I hear is the worst cancer you can have. And they grant their wishes. So if people want to continue to eat or have a tube, then they're going to, intestine's going to burst from the inside and rough from the inside out. My mother, she chose not to, you know, go that route. And my mother was so blessed by the Holy Spirit, by the Father and Son. I tell you, she died with only half of the take by extra strength by Vicodin. So, but yeah, there are good hospices out there.
Yes, absolutely. And Heidi, you're up there in Seattle. Isn't euthanasia legal in Washington, state of Washington?
Yes, I believe it is. So
yeah, Washington and Oregon, right, Doctor? Are those the only two states so far?
They've legalized assisted suicide, yes.
Right, assisted suicide. Heidi, thank you so much for calling. Is it okay if we go? Because I have about three people on the line. Is that all right with you?
Thank you so much, and God bless you both.
God bless you, too,
bye-bye.
Heidi. Bye-bye now. I love that name, Heidi. Okay, let's go to Peg. Peg is doesn't say where she's hailing from, but Peg, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I happen to be a retired lawyer and a Catholic, and I think there's something we all really need to keep in mind.
Yes.
We are dealing with systematic murder situations that are being covered by lies with words, and if Obamacare goes forward with implementation, it will get worse as we talk about pleasant little things like rationing care, which means who dies before the next one, financial incentives to do it. We got to deal in specific objective facts, and people need their durable, D-U-R-A-B-L-E, power of attorney written by a Catholic lawyer to put the words in documenting Catholic Church teachings, and somebody to advocate for that person who will aggressively do it and know what they're doing. It's the only way through this darkness right now.
Wow.
And it's going to get darker.
Amen.
Amen. And well said. Well, well said, Peg. I'm so glad that you called because it is systematic murder and it is being covered by lies and words and lies
and
with words.
We're not being preached the truth on how to deal with this and confront it. And I don't care if you're in a so-called Catholic hospital or not. You deal in facts and you name the evil.
Sometimes. Well, go ahead, Brian.
Barbara, I think people don't realize, as far as I'm concerned, Obamacare is to euthanasia what Roe versus Wade is to abortion.
Totally.
Obamacare
totally.
Is systematic murder. Let me count the ways.
Yes,
let me count the ways. Oh, Peg, I'm so glad you called. God bless you, dear heart. Keep listening, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, man. See, this could... okay, Dr. Brand, we didn't cover half the things that I wanted to get covered with you. And so you stay on the line. You stay on the line with me, and we're going to get you another date to come back because there's just too much to talk about, and it has to be before this election, too, that I've got to have you back. Okay, let's go to Mary. She's calling from Florida. And Mary, welcome to The Good Fight.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Thank you for this program. This is the first time I've ever listened to you, but this particular issue touched my heart because my mother was euthanized by my two sisters in the Cincinnati area.
Goodness.
She fell at 86. She was very active, but was told that she had a brain bleed and that it was terminal. And they evidently did some sort of test that said there's a protein in her brain and she'll never get better. So because of discourse, my Christian values, and my sister had left the church. The other is involved in a nursing college. They felt that they should follow the doctor's orders, sent her away to hospice, and within 10 days she was dead. She did speak with all of her sisters, family members, myself. She was cognizant. She was denied the opportunity for recovery. So it was nothing but euthanasia, and I'm so glad. I feel like it's a gift from God because I want to be involved and active in this particular movement
Mm-hmm.
Because people need to know that the medical community is, it's a new medical language.
Yeah.
And people are not associating it with the old language and where it should go.
Yes.
So thank you, Barbara.
Oh, listen
thank
here.
Thank you, Dr. Cook.
Oh, you're
there's a lot of healing to take place in our family.
Oh, there sure is. And you know what? God will be with you. His grace will be tangible. You watch and see. God bless
thank
you, dear
Barbara.
Heart. Yes, Dr. Brian, go ahead.
Monsignor William B. Smith has
yes.
this principle. You know.
From Dunwoody. I knew him well, yes.
Yeah. Verbal engineering always precedes social engineering.
Social engineering, that's right.
What you have to realize is that of set purpose, they've set up this new bioethics. Bioethics uses terminology and concepts completely removed from traditional Catholic and Christian moral medical ethics. The new bioethics has redefined everything. They've called food and water nutrition and hydration.
Yeah.
They've completely eliminated the ideas of ordinary and extraordinary care. It's all about quality of life. It's all about concepts that are completely and diametrically opposed to our beliefs as Christians. We have to recapture that. We can't give in to what Mary said about, you know, changing the language and so on.
And that's what they do. Change the words to change the minds, because people aren't going to accept it if they were completely honest, right? It's just, oh, my goodness. It's really an ominous thing to issue to have to cover. But here we are with just about, oh, let me see, about 5 more minutes left. So, Doctor, let's get Tony on the line here from Seattle, Washington. Tony, welcome to The Good Fight.
Hi.
Hi there. What can we do for you?
Hi. I live in the state of Washington, and we passed Thrive 1000 a few years ago, which allows active lucid, they call it assisted suicide.
Suicide, yeah.
In the law, what it actually said was that it protected physicians from any kind of lawsuit. If they did kill somebody, okay, if within their medical decision, medical, I don't know what you would call it, their idea that this person could not live, and if they killed them, we couldn't sue. My question is there any way that we can provide papers ahead of time that would protect us from the doctors, because I understand in the hospitals here, even your life directives are ignored.
Mm. Doctor?
Well, you know, in some of the northern European countries, people have taken to carrying a card in their wallet that says, do not euthanize me. I think it's the Netherlands. Some of the elderly are so afraid to go into the hospital, they go out of the country for medical care.
Well, but not to Holland, though, doctor. You go to Holland, you're dead meat, right?
So the reality is people are being killed even without being asked.
Yeah.
Right.
Their lives
this might be concerned.
Yeah. It's one thing to respect the end-of-life decisions or directives of an individual. It's another thing altogether to make a decision that their life isn't worth living and that they need to be terminated. And that's the direction we're going very rapidly.
Yes.
This is a massive battle. This is a massive battle. And unfortunately, I don't think the pro-life movement comprehends yet just how big this battle is.
I don't think so either.
You know, Robert Woods Johnson, the Soros Foundation, the euthanasia movement, they have their ducks in a row. They've been fighting this battle for 50 years. They have everything on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an overwhelming battle. You look at what we're up against. I was driving out to Greensburg from here in Johnstown a couple months ago to give a talk on this issue to the St. Gianna Sodality. And I just had a flash of, oh my gosh, we are up against forces of evil that are so massive, so well organized, so well funded. What can we possibly do? But in the same flash, I just had an image of Mother Teresa picking up that first one, that first individual in the gutter.
Right.
She was in a pagan culture, and she just started.
Yes.
She just, you know, picked up that first person and went about the work of the Lord. We can't look at the overall picture. We just have to take our own little corner of the world and do what we can in our own
corner
of the world.
The best we can.
And we're not called to be successful. We're only called to be faithful.
That's it. That is absolutely right. And when you consider that if life is not sacred in the womb, it's not going to be sacred when we get old either.
Right. If you can kill a child in the womb, it's not that much of a stretch to kill grandma.
Amen. Amen. Joan or Tony, thank you so much for calling, dear heart. And thanks for listening, okay? All right. Okay, we got Joan from Nebraska. Joan, you got 30 seconds. Is that okay? Joan, welcome to the show. Hi. Yes, 30 seconds. Is that all right? Can you ask your question quickly?
The thing is, I'm 53 and I'm healthy, but I'm on Medicare and Medicaid in the state of Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do since I'm on Medicare and Medicaid as far as I know that they said living wills are worthless.
Okay. Well, so nobody pulls the plug on you. That's the case, right? Okay, let's go to Dr. Brian, and he'll answer you very quickly. Dr. Brian?
Okay. You have to find somebody you trust and who shares your views on life and faith and so on. You have to communicate them to them your wishes for end-of-life care, and then you have to assign them as a health care proxy or a durable power of attorney for health care.
When you
get to the point where you cannot respond yourself, when you're unconscious or you're not able to make a decision, you have to have somebody you trust that can appraise the individuals who are making
decisions. Oh, goodness. Thank you so much, Joan, for calling. Thank you, Dr. Brian. It has been a grace and a blessing to have you. You are a treasure of the church. And until next week on The Good Fight, let us continue to fight the good fight, to run the race, until we run right into the arms of God. Bye for now. I didn't think we were going to get out in time.
Wow.
Because
we went far afield from our schedule, didn't we?
Oh, please. The Holy Spirit runs the show. The whole thing is, if I don't interrupt.
You still there?
Here?
You faded out for a second.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I'm here. What I was saying is, if I don't interrupt, which I hate to do that, I feel so rude, the computer cuts you off.
Oh, okay.
And that's nasty. All of a sudden, it's like dead air. You did an incredibly wonderful job, Dr. Brian.
Oh, thank you. I get so nervous. The first time I ever did radio was back in early May, and I was scared to death.
Well, you didn't show a bit nervous on this show, let me tell you, because...
I was praying profusely before we started.
And you know what? I pray, are you kidding? I'm prostrate in my mind the whole time I'm ever on the air. I have 2 hours on Tuesday to do as well on Open Line, and it's a live call-in show. And
I lost you again.
Spreading the good news all over the world. This is the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Join us next time for a special religious liberty-themed bookmark from our archives when we speak with author Michael Novak about his book, On Two Wings, Humble Faith and Common Sense at the American Founding.
The only powers the government has are those that are written down in the Constitution. We didn't give them power over religion, so you're protected.
That's Michael Novak on Bookmark.
Hi, this is Jeff Cavins. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Only on Ave Maria Radio, Cresta in the Afternoon.
Essentially denied the Pope a voice.
Catholic Connection.
Pray for the secular media.
And the doctor is in.
I am here meeting needs all over the place.
All on 990 WDEL.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. Join me and my guests as we try to develop conversations of consequence. It's talk radio where God matters, looking at all life through the lens of the Scripture and the teaching of Christ Church.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6.